In the heart of prayer, you also refer to the vibrational quality. And that's something quite different from what you're saying.
Of a word.
Of the word that evokes. And I was going to look up the book to see if you even use the word mantra on that particular chapter. But words like I am or beloved, they don't necessarily have that vibrational quality.
No, but a mantra does. Because a mantra... Sorry, carry on, Mike. You finish one.
But I am and beloved are not, generally speaking, mantras, correct?
Yes, a mantra is slightly different. When we hear the word I am, it goes through our conceptual mind. It has a meaning. And its meaning takes us to the experience of being. But a mantra is a word that is an abstract sound that doesn't have a... it doesn't mean something. When you listen to the sound of a bird, that sound doesn't mean something to it. It's a sound, it's a vibration, but it doesn't mean something. Music, you hear a piano, you listen to someone playing the piano, it doesn't go into your conceptual mind. The sounds don't mean something. And mantras belong to that category. They still have a power. We know when you're listening to a piece of music, it has a power, but it's not a power, it's not the power that the words I am have. The words I am have a power that goes through the conceptual mind. They're still very powerful. But a mantra has a different kind of power, more akin to the power that music has. But a mantra is a very special sound in that it's unlike a piece of music. If you're listening to a Bach partita, it takes 5 minutes. And its import is delivered slowly over a 5 minute period. But a mantra, you sound it once. The way I like to think of a mantra is like this. You imagine you're listening to a Bach partita, and it takes, 5 minutes to play? And Sujata, how many notes are there in a Bach partita? 2,000 notes? Where are you? You've gone. Let's say there are 2,000 notes in a Bach partita, and it takes... probably not that many, 1,000. It takes 5 minutes to play. Now imagine you had on your YouTube channel or your Apple Music, you know how you can go, you're listening to podcasts and I'm speaking so slowly, you go 1.5 or times 2 and you speed it up because you don't want all the silences. So imagine you're listening to Bach partita. Normally 1,000 notes in 5 minutes. But you put it on times 2, and you get 1,000 notes in 2.5 minutes. So you've got the same notes, the same music, it's all there, but you hear it in 2.5 minutes instead of 5. Then you put it on times 4, you hear it in 1.25 minutes. Then you put it on times 8, you hear it in 0.5 minute. And then 0.25 minute, you go down and down. And each time you double the speed, you condense the same music. It's all there, the 1,000 notes, they're all there. But you condense it. You go on, condensing it until you have it in one sound. It just takes a second. Imagine what that partita would sound like if the 1,000 notes were condensed into one sound. The entire meaning of the music that you previously heard over 5 minutes, and you listened to it over 5 minutes, and it delivered its meaning intravenously, not through the final. It just delivered it straight into you, listening to all that same information. The information that was contained in those 1,000 notes, it's all condensed now into one sound, and you hear it once, and the same meaning is delivered to you. That's the mantra. That's the mantra. The mantra is a sound that is that is received by inspiration, by the sages of old, and their understanding has been condensed into a single sound, and then they give you that sound. It's like Bach condensing his partita into a single sound, then giving you that, and you say, you take the sound into yourself, and then inside yourself, the sound then expands, and it delivers its meaning. It unravels. You can't hear it in the sound. You just hear the single note. You don't know that 1,000 notes are condensed into the, with all the meaning contained in those 1,000 notes is contained in that one note. But you take it into yourself and it unravels in when you delivers its meaning slowly. That's the power of the mantra. You take it in, you speak it, or you repeat it, and its meaning, the condensed understanding of thousands of years have been condensed into this sound. And you take it in, you repeat it to yourself, or you sound it once to yourself, and it unravels in your mind, delivering the knowledge that was originally encapsulated in it. So a mantra is a very special, very potent sound.
Okay, so as a former TM teacher, I can't help but play on this, the idea of the mantra. It's the whole purpose of the mantra is it's not evocative. It transcends the intellect and does its work on the...
But that's what I was saying. It transcends the intellect. I totally agree with you, but it does its work.
So it's as though we have a choice. We can choose that which... is in the English language, I am this beloved, which is, well, I can't think of I am as evocative, but if we chose beloved, it would have that same effect, but on more of a feeling level, it would help us to transcend the thinking mind. So in a sense, well, actually, it's two questions. So in a sense, we have a choice. We could choose a mantra if we manage to find the right one, or go with I am or something else.
Yes. Or both. Why restrict yourself to just a I am or a word that has meaning, intellectual meaning for you, or just a mantra? Why not use all your faculties? Why not use thinking, hearing, tasting, touching? Why not use all of your faculties? Because all our faculties can be informed by understanding. So just use every single faculty you have as a portal to reality. Well, that's what I was talking about. A musician or the ancient sages condensed their understanding into a mantra. Atmananda Krishnamenon condensed his understanding into these beautiful lines of higher reasoning. But a good cook, a good chef, condenses their understanding into a meal. A good painter will condense their visual perceptions into an image that has this power to take you, as Cézanne said, to give you a taste of nature's eternity. That's what he was doing, trying to take all, because he was very sensitive to seeing. Seeing was the faculty that was most developed in him. So he would take the colors and the shapes that he saw, and he would put them together on his canvases and to create an image that had this power that the mantra has, or that the music has, or that these beautiful lines of higher reasoning had. So we should use not just conceptual thought, not just mantras, but music and poetry and dance and cooking and use everything. Everything can be used in the hands of an artist. Any medium of expression, seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, smelling, thinking, it can all be impregnated with understanding and used as a pathway to understand. That's the work of an artist, to develop not lines of reasoning, but to develop lines of perception, lines of seeing or hearing, touching, tasting or smelling, that when we engage in them, when we eat the meal or listen to the music or smell the perfume or whatever, that these are every sense we have is a portal, is a pathway in the hands of an artist. So yes, we should use the mantra, lines of higher reasoning, painting, music, everything. Yeah.
So that does.
That's the tantric approach, not the Vedantic approach. Sorry, Michael, I interrupt.
That does beg the question, then, again, for me as a TM teacher. So we have our two guided meditations in the morning. Why don't we apply whatever sound I am or a mantra during the guided meditations when you're not guiding with your voice to bring us to that place? In other words, why aren't we just meditating? I mean, you've talked about mantra meditation and breathing and I guess what you've been saying just now, when I put it together with what we do in the morning.
Yeah. Michael, it's because, I have my character is limited. I have my preferences, I have my characters, my tendencies, my shortcomings, my skills, and my way is not the way of mantra. My way is the way I'm sharing with you. Mm-hmm. And also because I love the arts, that there's lots of time given on these. I love the arts and I love friendship. So that's why there's lots of space in these retreats for meals go on forever, and there's 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon where you can all go for walks with friends, and because because the community is itself a vehicle of the understanding. So in this way, our guided meditations, these clinical lines of higher reasoning that we sometimes engage in, friendship. It's why we mind. We're fussy about our environment, beauty. Our meals, it's why Francesca plays so much attention with the staff here to get our meals better and better and better. It's because we don't just value higher reasoning, we love higher reasoning, we love thinking, but not just that, friendship and the arts. It's why we enjoy, it's why we have, we watch a movie, we have a music or theatre evening, we have a celebration evening, we encourage. These are all ways that they're all, it's not, but what takes place in these retreats is not just the 4 hours that we spend in this rather formal setting. That's just a part of what we do. But that's just my repertoire, Michael. I have my preferences, I have my skills, I have my limitations. Mantra, although as you know, I practice mantra meditation for 25 years, it's not now part of my repertoire. I would never discourage anyone from doing that. It was a beautiful practice. I loved it when I did it. Very often, barely a day goes by now, although I haven't practiced it for 25 years, barely a day goes by now when I don't find the mantra comes back to me. And particularly when I'm engaged in some kind of rhythmical activity, because the activity of a mantra is rhythmical. So, for instance, I find myself, if I'm walking, and I'm just walking on my own or with Kira, but we're not talking and my attention is not focused on anything, so I'm walking, there's this rhythm to what I'm doing. And before I know it, the mantra is in my mind, because it's this rhythm, this rhythm of walking. So, and my mind just starts repeating the mantra. So I think the mantra is something very beautiful. I loved it when I did it, and it kind of petered out. I'm not sure that I would ever recommend. No, I would recommend it in occasion, very occasionally. I would recommend it, but it's not my way. But I think it's a beautiful practice. If somebody came to me and said, I practice mantra meditation and I love it, and is it compatible with what we do here, I would say absolutely yes, keep going, or indeed any other practice from the Buddhist or Sufi or Vedantic or Christian tradition that you have, I would encourage people to just to carry on with that. Am I responding to your question?
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.